Hi, Marty Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball. It is Friday, and we get our philosopher Tony Watson with us. Always enjoy this. I've loved doing this with you all season. This has been fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me again, Marty. It's we had a short two-game series with the Padres, sandwiched with some off days on the outside, so it's good to recharge the batteries, but good brew crew team coming in, so it'll be a good weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking about you a little bit, because we talked about Bellinger, and now you got to deal with, I'm sure you will be in there, Moustakas is waiting for you, Yelich is waiting for you, those are guys who, this team lives on taking it out.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've had a lot of success the last couple of years, and familiar with, a handful of their guys just from being in the NL Central for so long, but how rosters change and the rollover effect. But they got some good thumpers, they got some switch hitters, they got some pitching, so it'll be a good challenge for us this weekend.
All right, let's talk Yelich a little bit. 25 home runs, this guy could hit 70, but he was buried in Miami in that crazy big ballpark, and then he's in this ballpark, of course, in Milwaukee, where he's going nuts. But what about Yelich and just what he means to the game?
Yeah, I mean, you said Barry. I mean, he was, you could tell that he was going to have the hit tool and he was going to be, I didn't think that he would be hitting, 25 homers this quick. And but you could tell that he was a good player and a good talent. And something clicked over there in Milwaukee. It's a great place to hit, great hitter's ballpark in Milwaukee. And obviously their lineup's long and deep, so there's no pitching around him. You got to go after him. And, he's made teams pay. So tip of the cap to him. But, yeah, it's a great talent for the game. He's a young player that plays hard and looks like he's enjoys the game and has a lot of fun, enjoys the fans and the interactions there, and it looks like he can drink a beer pretty fast too. I saw him out drinking Aaron Rodgers.
That's
so
right.
If you're one up in Aaron Rodgers or any Packer in Wisconsin, you're doing something right. So yeah, he's a great talent, and it'll be like I said, just a good challenge for our team this weekend, and hopefully we get off to a good start tonight.
Yeah, oh, I forget. Very good. You got a better memory than me. That's right. He did the chugging thing. So all right, here he is in the eighth inning. He's coming up. You're on the mound. And you look in and you go, chug this, Yelich.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got some, I'm not sure what kind of beer he likes, but hopefully they brought some of that spotted cow over, because that's some good stuff from Wisconsin. But I've faced him before, and hopefully I'm going to face him this weekend too. But like I said, just one of the top players in the game right now. He's going well, and but he's not the only one over there. You can't just single out him. There's a lot of guys going over there, and you've got to do your homework and get ready.
Yeah, the game needs him, though. Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live, he looks like him. I like Yelich. I do. And as a fan, if I'm coming to the ballpark, I want to see this guy play. So good. I'm glad that we touched on him, and you got a good memory. Very good, Tony. Very good. Tony Watson, not only a philosopher, but a memory expert as well. Very good. All right. Ken Rosenthal wrote something this week in The Athletic. There was a game, with Arizona and Philadelphia earlier in the week or something, 13 home runs in a game. Look, you played baseball for a long time, and you know what's going on, but 13 home runs in a game, and somebody gave up five, the starting pitcher for somebody gave up five.
Yeah, I mean, the balls are flying. I think there's no secret about it. It's they're going out at a record pace, and earlier this year we were talking about the AAA balls being changed out to the Major League balls and how fast they were going out down there, but 13 homers in a game, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. I saw the highlights, and I mean, it's something that you can't help but, wonder what's going on there. And obviously Philadelphia, that's a great hitter's ballpark, the ball flies there anyway, but some of these balls that are going out, it's the other night Beattie's throwing and Tatis Jr. hits that first pitch of the game out, and off the bat, he hit it high but and far, but you don't think it's going out, it's especially at a ballpark like this, and you're in a hole 1-0 right away. So yeah, it is what it is. You can't consume yourself in, oh, the balls are wound tighter, or I don't want to do this pitch because I'm scared that they're going to hit. You start thinking like that, then homers are going to happen. And, you just got to keep attacking and doing your plan and trust in your preparation and remembering that they are hitting a round ball with a round bat. So it's one of the toughest things to do in sports. But, yeah, you can't help but raise your eyebrows at some of these homers that are going out. I think a couple weeks ago, Ketel Marte hit one over here to the Coors Light stand out here at right center, which – you see Bonds do that in the highlights, but Barry was hitting them pretty far here, but not very many people are doing what he's done. So it's definitely raises your awareness a little bit when the balls are flying off the bat. You know, we got the exit velo here now in the corners. Shows you immediately what the results are. So you see visitors teams, you don't, they don't have that at every ballpark. So I think it's a nice little niche that we have here this year. But you see visiting teams come in and they're looking up right away, even on line drives, ground balls.
Really?
You know, how hard did I hit that? Was my launch angle there? So you can't be consumed by it, but you know, you look up there every now and then when a ball's hit pretty hard, and even Pablo hit some balls hard foul, and it shows you up there. You know, whoa, 114. I mean, that's pretty firm off the bat. So luckily we have these nets up here to protect the fans, but yeah, it's the balls are bouncing for sure this year.
All right, I think baseball should do something about it. I mean, 13 home runs in a game, and every team breaking their records for home runs. At some point, you lose that. What does a home run mean? So my feeling is they should do something about it. But that's a subject I'll let you think about.
And, I mean, I've thought about it. I mean, just as a fan, if I'm coming to a game, do I want to sit there and watch balls just keep flying out of the ballpark? And I think it was Craig Stammen down in San Diego. I think he gave up four back-to-back on this last weekend. So, I mean, that's no fun. You're being out there, but, you know, would you rather see a guy hit behind a runner and go first to third? And the most exciting play in baseball is probably still the triple, right? So, you know, getting runners going and hitting and running and putting balls in the gap, I mean, that's what fans want to see. You know, homers are great every now and then, but, you know, it's not as action-packed of a play as some of the other plays that we have in baseball that you know, could be helping the game out a lot more, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the commissioner says it, too. You want to see more action at the ballpark. What do you think of Max Muncy? Hit the ball 460 feet into the ocean, as he says. But, look, you're a spectator. You're watching it. What do you think of that whole thing unfolding?
Well, look, it's, you know, it's a rivalry game. Bum's out there pitching. He's intense every time he takes the mound. Everybody knows that. And you know, Max didn't hit it into the ocean. Everybody knows that. So
it was
water. Yeah, but you know, I don't. You know, I think Bum touched on it a little bit, but you know, just letting the motion of the game. You know, he was a little fired up and letting him know that he didn't like him watching it. So I got no problem with it. You know, if a guy hits a ball a mile off me and watches it, it's, you know, he got me. But you know. To each their own. Different guys play different ways, and that's what makes our game great, I think. I mean, we got 25 guys that all have different personalities, and, you know, it's going out there and playing and being yourself out there is, I think, the most important part. And Bum didn't like it, and he let him know about it, and I don't think there's any problem with that at all.
Yeah, well, it was good theater, I'll tell you that, and we are selling entertainment here. All right, the philosopher moves on. College World Series is underway this weekend, and of course, Saturday it starts. But there was a game in Omaha, not Rosenblatt Stadium, but Ameritrade Stadium or something like that. I forget the name of it. Sounds like the Ricketts family probably bought into this thing. But it was Kansas City who played, and it's the first professional baseball major league game ever in the state of Nebraska. And you can relate to that, going to Nebraska. But Alex Gordon didn't play, and it was a big deal. And the Royals ended up winning the game. A kid from Creighton hit a home run. How'd you feel just sort of watching that or following it?
Well, knowing Alex, I played with Alex a couple years at Nebraska, and I know him pretty well, so I know that he wouldn't have missed that if he didn't, you know. I think he got hit by a pitch the night before, so you know, I don't know what's all going on there, but he wouldn't have missed that game if he could have played. So something, you know, he obviously is looking long term here, and there's a full season going. I mean, I'm sure it burned him up a little bit that he wasn't able to play in front of the. He's from Lincoln, which is down the road, but you know, pretty much hometown fans, and so yeah, it's probably disappointing for him, but yeah, it's I thought it was looked like a great turnout. Omaha's a great baseball town, obviously, and. What a great way to kick off the World Series, too, I think. It's you know, I think they have the opening ceremonies tonight. Those are always a big deal with fireworks and the parade of teams. But, you know, I think the coolest thing I saw was every time you watch the CWS, you see how many kids are in the stands. And you look last night on those highlights of that game, it's, there's a lot of kids in the stands. And that's pretty cool. It's pretty special to see, you know, all those little kids out there watching big leaguers in their hometown. So a lot of aspiring dreamers in those seats. So it was pretty cool.
Vlad Jr. Didn't play on Victoria Day in Canada. So I guess my question to the philosopher here is, should players be more cognizant of special days and maybe push themselves a little more? Maybe Gordon should have pushed himself a little, or Vlad Jr., you know, the manager of Toronto didn't understand Victoria Day. You know, Montoya's from Cuba, so he didn't understand it, allegedly. So Vlad Jr. sits. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is tough because, you know, you it's like you some it's a little different for me just because I play and I know, you know, each guy is dealing with whatever throughout the course of the year. It's a long year. So, you know, the most important thing is to be available and throughout the course of the year. And you push yourself, you know, one game here in June and, you know, you want to be full strength 100% in September, October when all the marbles are on the line, and every game matters, I get that, but it's no different than, you know, I'll look up at a basketball game and you see that Steph Curry's out of the lineup tonight, or Klay Thompson's not playing tonight, or, you know, the Spurs were one of the first teams to really do it, where they were just giving guys rest, and the league wasn't really into it. You know, it's, you know, a lot of fans are buying tickets way in advance, so... you know, I get it. We got a job to do to go out there, and people are paying good money to get these tickets and come out and watch us. So if you're able to go that night and give it all you got, I mean, you should go out there and give it all you got. But you know, we don't know everything that goes on underneath or behind the scenes. So, yeah, certain guys need certain days and need a blow. And, you know, you see teams now, we got those extra off days now. So, you know, sometimes you look across the lineup and, oh, so-and-so's not in the lineup, but maybe they're just backing up, you're giving a guy 2 days in a row. And 2 days here in June might mean that he can go 10 in a row or 20 in a row in August or September when, you know, the pennant race is going on and the games are a little turned up a little bit and everybody's got bruises and all of a sudden you're a little bit fresher just because of these days here. So it all adds up, but, you know, there's a formula. But, yeah, it's a little different. I don't think anybody's looking at certain days, though, and saying, well, it's my birthday, I need to play today. So, but, yeah, it's I get it from a fan side, too. And you want to go out there, and when you're coming to the ballpark, you want to see the guys. But it is what it is, and that's the way the season goes.
Special day coming up Sunday, and that's Father's Day. I haven't gotten your thoughts on Father's Day.
Father's Day special. I mean, my dad's out here this weekend. He's out all week. He just retired this year, 34 years of high school athletic director. So he's no more security calls, no more open gyms, no more scheduling conflicts, no more hiring referees, umpires. So he's stress-free out here with the grandkids and took him down to Pebble Beach yesterday. And we had a full sports day. We went to Pebble Beach and then we went to the Warriors game. So it was a lot of fun. And man, walking the course at Pebble Beach with your dad, that was pretty special for me. And I know he had a great time. So yeah, it's great. Obviously, when you're growing up playing baseball and you're in the backyard and your dad, I mean, my dad was the catcher all the time and telling me what to throw. And I was fortunate enough that he was a high school coach too. So he coached me in high school and not baseball, but he was a football coach. So he was always around, and he's obviously the athletic director, so I got to play all the sports because the athletic director kids can't not play, right? So the coaches made me play, and it's just cool to see him now as a grandpa, and you know, I'm a dad now too, and it's a lot of fun to be out here. We were out here earlier with the kids and running around, so it's a special day for sure.
Oh, beautiful. That's a nice day.
Yeah.
That's a nice day. All right, what do you think of the Warrior game?
I thought it was an outstanding game. The atmosphere in the Oracle was electric. You know, one thing my dad commented on right away was how intimate the Oracle was. And it was an older building, obviously, and they're closing it down. But, you know, you're close. You're right on top of the floor there, and the concourses are tight. And that noise, it's booming in there. And I thought it was a great game. Obviously, the injuries that the Warriors had, I mean, you can't do anything about the injuries. But, man, it's a lot of what-ifs. But, you know, it was a great game. And the Raptors were a solid team. It was a... You know, well-fought series. I watched most of the games that I could, and I love the NBA and basketball. So, but yeah, it's really cool to be in there for a finals game and be able to see those guys top of their game and fighting and clawing and doing everything they can to keep advancing. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, one of the best games in Bay Area history, I think. It was just amazing. You're getting ready to go 20 games in 20 days. And my thought was, I said, well, what should I ask Tony about that? I said, well, how do you pack for 20 days? What do you take?
Well, we're not on the road all 20, right? I haven't looked at the schedule that much, but I know we're going to LA here and we're going to Arizona. The weirdest thing about the 20 days is we have the next off day is July 4th. I mean, who doesn't play baseball on July 4th? We have Memorial Day off and July 4th, so that's kind of an interesting schedule for me this summer. I don't know when the last time as a baseball player I had those two holidays off. It's kind of the, you know, everybody's playing on those 2 days and all levels, right? And so it'll be interesting. It'll be a good test for us to the 20 days in a row. I mean, you know, you just got to monitor your workload and, you know, monitor your body. And I mean, it is what it is. We won't even know it. And all of a sudden it'll be 18 and we'll be like, oh, we got two more days till an off day. And they go fast. So, but yeah, it'll be a good test for us and playing some good teams. We got some good teams in those 20 days, so we'll have a lot of fun with it and hopefully go win some games.
Yeah, and then you got Colorado, the Dodgers, Arizona. You got a lot of people in there as well. All right, so the longest road trip you had to pack for? What did you take if you got to go on a long trip? What do you take?
The longest road trip I had was. It was actually two teams. I got traded at the deadline in 2017, so I was with Pittsburgh. We had come out here on an 11-game road trip on the West Coast, and we were actually here in San Francisco, then San Diego, and I think we hit Colorado on the way back or something, and then went back home. We had an off day for the time change, and that was the trade deadline day, and I got called that afternoon that I was going to the Dodgers, and they were flying from L.A. to Atlanta to start their own 11-game road trip.
Oh, wow.
So I did some laundry, hopped on a plane, and met them in Atlanta. And, it was a little rough. You don't see the family for, you know, you obviously see them on that off day. But, you know, 20 of 21 days, you're on the road. And so that was the longest. It was you just kind of pack everything. When I went to meet the team in L.A. or in Atlanta, obviously I just packed as much as I could in one suitcase and shipped the rest. So, but, yeah, it's just don't forget your toiletries. That's the biggest thing. You forget your toiletries, you're going to be out of luck. And I actually forgot my hanging clothes that my wife had to overnight them to me. So you need some collared shirts on the road when you're in the big league. So it's one of those trips that you never forget. But, it was an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, I guess for me it's my medication.
You got to
take that with you. But you're a long way from that. You guys had an interesting trip from Baltimore to New York. You went by train. And, you know, I've done shows with the old-time ballplayers who traveled by train, and they loved it and bonding, and they would have the sleeper berths and all that stuff. What was it like for you traveling by train? Is that the first time you had done that as an athlete?
It wasn't the first time. I had done it a couple other times with, you know, when you're on that Eastern Seaboard and you get the New York, Philly, D.C., Baltimore, it's just way easier to do the trains there. Saves you some time and you don't have to fight the traffic to the airports, and everybody knows how bad that is out there. So you just hop in this train station and you go and get on the Amtrak and you go. It was pretty slick, really. And, you know, it's interesting you brought up the old timers, because Buster and I were talking about, you know, back in the day, if, you know, when St. Louis was the furthest west team before the Dodgers and Giants were out here, that, you know, everybody was going by train. And then we, you know, I started looking it up, and just to see how long they were. And I mean, some of those road trips they were on, I mean, they're going on 24-day road trips, it looked like. And you go to the East Coast, and from, you know, St. Louis to the East Coast, I guess. So, you know, you think it's an hour and a half flight, 2 hour flight, but I mean, it looked like an 18 to 20 hour train ride. You know, you're hopping rails, and the thing that got me the most, we had air conditioning on our train. Those guys, they didn't always have air conditioning, and the dust and how hot it was, and you wake up, all your clothes are dirty, and what really is interesting is the beat writers were riding with them. So the writers are riding with them, and I think that even happened here. You talked to Henry Schulman. He was flying on the planes, I think, when he first started. So it wasn't that long ago that was still going on. But, yeah, the train was, it was cool. It's something kind of nostalgic, little old school. And it was quick. It was really quick up into New York. It was 2 hours from Baltimore. So it was great.
Who'd you sit with?
You know, we had a cart, so we had single seats and then the double seats. So Maranta was across from me, and he was listening to his Latin music, and I was just kind of enjoying the train ride and watched the card game for a little bit, and that was it.
Right. And food. What about food? Did they take care of you on food on this thing? Because on the planes, you fed pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, they do a good job. Honestly, we were going to New York, and we were going to get there by dinner time, so everybody was kind of saving, and I know I was. I wasn't looking to eat the train food. I was looking for someplace in New York to get a nice meal. But yeah, they do a nice job. It was great service, and I think a lot of the teams on the East Coast, they use those a lot. So it was cool to get that opportunity.
Well, great to get that perspective. Good job by Tony Watson explaining that. The All-Star voting is underway now, and the players do get a vote apparently down the road, and then the commissioner comes in with that, and they pick the reserves and the pitchers. But it's you get this runoff now where the top three in each position then run off, then the top one gets it. So there's like two layers of it. And Tommy Pham of Tampa Bay was complaining the other day. He says, look, the small market teams are getting killed here with this kind of stuff. But Austin Meadows, who you know from the Pirates, he's one of the top three in the American League, a great player. What do you think about All-Star voting? How do you think it should happen? Then I'm going to ask you, as a second part of that question, should it be just popularity or the guys who are having the best season? So what do you think of the system and the guys?
Well, the system, I think, it's great because you get the fan interaction, and that's what it's all about. It's the fans are coming out, and they're the ones supporting us, and they want to see the guys that they root for. And obviously, the bigger the market, the more fans. So the Boston's, the New York's, the LA's, even here, San Francisco, we're a bigger market, and we're gonna stuff the ballot. I mean, I talked about it last time with the ballot brothers or whatever Derek Holland and Hunter Pence were doing last year. I mean, it's fan interaction, and I think it's great for the game that so many fans get involved and do that stuff. But I also understand where Tommy Pham's coming from as well. It's there's a lot of guys that are very deserving to be in the All-Star game, and not everybody can make it. I mean, not everybody's gonna make it, and there's gonna be snubs every year, and they're going to have a nice rest of 4 days. And, if you can remember who got snubbed last year, I mean, yeah, it's hard to remember who got snubbed each year. So, it's just a tough process, tough system. It's, making the All-Star team, even when you're little, it's always, somebody's always going to get screwed over and somebody's going to get snubbed. So, it's just one of those things where you just got to keep going and, put your numbers up, and hopefully that the fans will recognize you. It's great that Austin Meadows gets recognized. Austin's a great player.
Yeah.
Obviously very deserving, and I think Tommy Pham's putting up pretty good numbers too. Yeah. So, the Rays have a good team. It'd be cool to see a small market team get a handful of guys in there. And when you're watching the intros or you see all the guys that make it, and you see a lot, the good teams have, four or five, six sometimes guys in that line. So a team like the Rays, it's a small market team and having a great year, it'd be cool to see a lot of guys out there. And but yeah, I think the system, I don't know what the better way would be. Everybody's got a say, the fans get a say, the players get a vote, and the rosters are set. So it's I know a couple years ago the managers had a say, or the actual manager, in-game manager, had a say, and even that was started to become tough. There's a lot of phone calls going on, take my guy, blah blah blah. But either way, there's always going to be a problem, and you just got to roll with the punches.
All right. Well, we'll talk later on when we get closer to the game about the home run derby, and it goes to what we talked about earlier. I mean, the only skill they're showing is hitting home runs, and there's more to baseball, but who cares if you're the best guy that can hit the ball behind the runner? So we'll talk about this when we get closer to the game, but that's the only skill that's glorified at the All-Star game is the home run derby, and that seems to be the most popular, but that'll be a subject for another show.
Perfect.
All right, we'll go back to our players and who they would be, and this, I love this segment with you, so I'm going to start with Buster Posey.
That's a tough one. Buster's so, I mean, he's so well-rounded and very intelligent. So I would say I got Buster being a CEO of, I mean, he's pretty much our CEO behind the plate. But, yeah, he'd be a CEO of a big company, and he'd be doing pretty well at it.
He's a quiet man. Yeah. He doesn't say much, and he stays within the rails, so to speak, you know, in the media. You know, he's been media trained very well. I see him more as working for customs. When you come through the line and with the luggage, and he says, and you say, well, I only bought this much in Italy, and he goes, okay, and he's not going to get into it with you, but you know there's trouble.
I can see that for sure. He might be the guy that you're taken to in the back. You know, I get it. Right. I get it. And he, but I see what you're saying, that he's so within the rails and so well trained, but he would have had his guys so well trained that they're flagging every person that has violations. So, yeah, he'd be suit and tie in the back, yeah. and he'd be the final say, but have everybody else well trained. I get you. I got you there.
Yeah, I think we did well with that one. All right, a guy in the bullpen who we don't know that much about, you know more than me, but Maranta.
Mo would be a restaurateur. He would have his own Latin food restaurant, and I'm going to say he'd still be in the Dominican, and it would be booming. The music would be so loud in the restaurant, because that's what he listens to, loud music all the time, and he would be dancing and having a great time, and it would be a great environment, and he would be, I don't know, it wouldn't be called Maranta's. It would be some... something more clever and a little more fun, but it would be a lively atmosphere, and Mo would be in the kitchen talking to all the people, and he would be having a blast.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm thinking a DJ on the radio, and I'm thinking midnight to 5 a.m. with Maranta. And he's just blasting that music midnight to 5 a.m., and he's just into it. And you turn on the radio or whatever you turn on, and there he is.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, the guy loves music, loves having a good time, and he's awesome. He's a lot of fun to have, and I think that'd be perfect for him.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that about him, because we don't really get to know him too much. I'm glad you said that about him. It sounds like he's a good guy. Someone who's not here right now, but who was here, and a very well-spoken young man, and that's Aramis Garcia. How about him?
Aramis Garcia, yeah. Well-spoken, well-thought-out, quiet, and I could see him being a college professor.
Oh, okay.
He would be, he's educated, but he's quiet and kind of behind the scenes and just does his daily work and gets ready for the game preparation-wise. So, yeah, I could see him being a professor and having open hours and getting to know his kids and students, and I think he'd be good at that.
Yeah, I see him with very good judgment, and I agree with you on that. I see him as a steward at a racetrack and determining whether there's been interference with the horses in the race. With his judgment, I think he would be calm enough to just say, this is what happened.
Yeah, he's very calm, and nice hit on the Derby there. But yeah, it would be he'd be very good at, and he'd be very fair, and he would let people know calmly that they were eliminated from the Kentucky Derby.
What a pleasure. Great to chat with you. This is fun. It's fun. So you're on a trip. It's not for 20 days in a row, but I won't see you for a couple of weeks, but we'll catch up when you come back.
That sounds good. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me again, Marty.
All right. That's our philosopher, Tony Watson. A lot of fun. More coming up on the Sports Leader.